Well, I got Ian with me right now. I'm going to talk with Ian. Ian, how are you doing?
Not so bad. How are you?
I'm all right. So you're already kind of drinking. Did you just start? Or have you been doing it all day?
I actually just started. I've been doing some maintenance work on the bedroom area, so I finally got a chance to take a break for this thing and pour myself a drink. And just in case I needed to pour one mid-conversation, I brought the stuff with me.
Well, the good news is, last night we had a little bit of a technical glitch. At least right now it appears that we're doing okay. So it doesn't even seem like we're having those type of problems. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I got to catch about maybe 15 minutes of the conversation last night, and hopefully all that's worked out. Because you gotta work through all that bullcrap with Mikey before you get to the good stuff, which.
So let's tell some radio stories. Let's go back to there's a couple stories I think we've never really got to tell, at least uncensored. One is you were super close at one point to eating. Well, I say eating, actually drinking a dead person's ashes. This is a story that I honestly, when I look back at my radio career, I think of that day as probably one of the worst things I ever done. So part of me feels guilty, but the other part of me is like, how the hell did we get away with that? So here's what happened. If you remember right, Ian, back in Florida, the morning show, we had a conversation on air, something about cremated ashes. And one of our listeners, you remember his name, Victor, right?
Yeah, and I actually, we knew who he was, but we didn't come about the ashes because he volunteered them. I actually posted on Facebook if anybody had any that they would be willing to let us drink. And he was like the first one to jump in and be like, yeah, I got him right here. I'll bring him over tomorrow.
So they bring in these ashes, and then he shows up. He's got his wife there. Wasn't that? That was only two people there, I believe, in the studio. And they open these ashes. I don't think I've ever even looked at cremated ashes until that day in my life, seriously.
And it wasn't even in like a plastic, or it wasn't even in like an urn like you see in the movies. It was in a black plastic box that opened up from the top, and inside was a plastic bag. It was a very thick plastic bag where the ashes were. And it's not just ashes. There's also little bone fragments in there, too. So it's kind of chunky and not what you'd expect to see.
So we played some sort of game. It was between you and RBG. We work with him down in Florida. And the loser had to drink the ashes of his favorite whiskey. From what I remember, they said the guy loved to drink. And they said he would have loved this stunt if he knew about it.
Yeah, they definitely wanted us to be sure that what we were doing wasn't necessarily more, it was really questionable, but the guy whose ashes we were drinking, they made sure to constantly tell us, like, no, he would have loved this. This is exactly the kind of stuff that he liked to be involved in, so really you're doing us a favor by letting us do that. It was really cool for them to actually tell us that over and over again.
So there was a game we played. The loser had to drink the guy's ashes. I don't remember what the game was. Do you remember the game?
It might have been some sort of trivia or something, because that's usually how we settled things back in the day is, you know, whoever has the most points at the end of the trivia game wins. At least that's what I think, and I just barely squeaked by, I believe.
You did, and then RBG had to down the ashes, and he did, and the family's watching it, and they're like, they think it's the greatest thing ever. I remember playing, like, the bagpipe, like you hear at funerals. Amazing Grace, I believe I played, as he downed those cremated ashes. You remember we had to call our buddy Rick Albritton, and asked him, was it, because he's the attorney, can we get away with this? Is this going to be cannibalism? And he's like, I don't really think it technically falls under cannibalism.
Yeah, because technically speaking, we weren't consuming flesh. It was the ashes and, you know, bone fragments. And we had to talk to him back and forth for a couple days before we actually did it. And he said, legally speaking, there was nothing that we could be charged with. So we just went ahead and did it. So that was a fun conversation to have with a lawyer that I guarantee you he's never had in his life with anybody.
Okay, there's another stunt that you got really pissed off at me on the air, and I had to dump you. I had to dump the conversation live because you cursed at me. There was a segment. Do you remember? It was called Pedophile Knock Knock.
I'll never forget, and you deserve to be cussed at.
I did deserve to be cursed out. So here was what it was. Pedophile Knock Knock, game we played in Florida. Ian would have to go up to random houses and introduce himself as a new pedophile or sex offender that moved into the neighborhood. Well, he had done this stunt several times, And one time I sent him to this house, but he didn't know it was that hotel. It was that shady hotel on Panama City Beach. And there was a lot of sex offenders live there. And so I sent you to the door of this guy's house. You had to introduce yourself as a pedophile, sex offender, or something. And that guy, I was a little bit concerned because you didn't realize that guy was actually a pedophile.
No, and by the way, this is only the second time that I got pissed off at you during this stunt, because the time before I did that, somebody drew a gun on me, if you remember that.
And we got to get to that in a minute, because I forgot about the gun being pulled on you. So when you went to the pedophile's house to introduce yourself as a pedophile, there was some kind of conversation. I remember that. He didn't try to grab you, because you look back then. I mean, you look young now, but you look super young then.
Oh, yeah. When I think I was 24 at the time, I looked 17. So I was pretty much like candy to that guy. And you told me when I got back to my car, because I was immediately uncomfortable. I called it. I got back to my car, and you're like, Ian, I got to tell you something. I don't know if you know this or not, but that was an actual pedophile's house. And I was so overwhelmingly pissed off at you. Like, you hung up on me because I was out on location, because I was swearing. I was angry. Yeah. I was almost in tears. Like, I can't believe you did that.
I don't think you come back to work that day. What about the, okay, tell us about the other time when somebody pulled a gun on you. I don't remember this.
Well, I vaguely remember is like, I got through, I had a speech prepared. Like, I have to say this to every house that I go to. And I got halfway through it, and he got pissed off. He says, you need to leave right now. So I'm still on the phone with you at my car, and I'm telling you everything that's going on. And he comes out, and he's like, hey, you need to get out of here. I'm like, I'm leaving. And he had a gun in his hand. So that was a lot of fun. I can't believe you forgot about that one.
No, I don't know. Wow, I maybe smoked that one away or something. What's the biggest difference, you think, between Florida and California radio-wise?
I would say definitely what we get away with, because back when we were in Florida, we could pull stuff like that.
I mean, we gave away threesomes and foursomes on the radio, and sent people on a helicopter to shoot wild hogs with a machine gun. Yeah, I think there was probably the big difference there. There was probably a little more sensitivity now. I don't know if Florida's the same as it was, but back then, I don't know. All thing we were told was don't lose the FCC, don't lose the license.
I don't know if it's so much, people are more sensitive out here. I think it's just because we work for a much bigger company and they have, stricter rules as to what.
I just hear more people bitch about little things here, but it could be we're talking to a bigger audience now that we've always pissed people off, but I think we hear from some of those people sometimes now.
Not to mention the sense of humor is definitely different where we're from. We're from the South. I mean, you can drink people's ashes in the South and get away with it. Out here, oh my God, they'd be beating down our doors just to have us fired for stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, I remember that time you had put those homeless woman's toenails in your mouth.
You know, I had drank that away. Thank you very much for bringing that up. I
had this gigantic clear tube, and it was you and RBG, and whoever ran out of air, breath, because you had to keep trying to, blow it, whoever quit breathing or whatever, they'd have that toenail in their mouth.
We had, it was a long tube. Me and the other intern had to blow as hard as we could into the other side, and the toenails were right in the middle. So basically, whoever had the greater lung capacity was not ending up with homeless toenails in their mouth. And I was a smoker at the time, so I pretty much lost. And it was, it was awful because I have another guy breathing into my mouth. And then secondly, the toenails ended up in my face. So that was just awful. Why did you bring that up?
An asshole today. I mean, I'm bringing up bad things, like pedophile knock-knock. I was like, we got to tell that story. We would never get away with that, right? I don't think we'd ever get away with that now. I don't know if you'd ever get away with that at radio anywhere anymore.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time. That was maybe 5 years ago, and the political landscape has definitely changed since then. So even if we were back in Florida, I don't know if we'd get away with it. They'd probably tell us not to.
Who's the describe the craziest radio listener you've met?
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. That is a hard decision. I really wish I had time to think about that, because there were a lot back home in Florida, and there are quite a few here. But craziest listener we've ever met. Can I come back to you on that one after I think about it?
You don't know the craziest listener you ever met was?
Not off the top of my head. Probably the one that showed up at my house after maybe two dates. And it was like 3 in the morning, and she'd been drinking, and she was knocking on my door. My sister knocks on my door, and she's like, "Hey, there's this lady here asking for you." I'm like, "What's her name?" And she goes, "I'm not gonna say what her name was." And I said, "Tell her I'm not here, because I never want to see that woman again. Because A, she tried to stab her husband. I found out literally a year before I met her. B, she had been doing meth." While we were hanging out at the bar, she'd sneak off somewhere, and then she'd come back and tell me that she was doing meth. So I ended it right then and there, because I don't want that stuff anywhere near me.
See, so, I know I attract crazy people. You do as well. Because remember that time you almost picked up a hooker by accident?
I didn't know she was a hooker at the time, which I know a lot of people say that when they actually get caught. But I was trying to do the right thing, because I was driving home. I had to get gas. This lady asked me if she could have a ride. I said, "Fine, whatever." I take her to this dumpy motel, which I didn't know was where she wanted to go. She didn't tell me at first. She was giving me directions. And it was the seedy motel across from the Golden Nugget. If you know exactly which motel I'm talking about, it's the crappy motel right across the street.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So I pull in, and her friend start arguing as soon as we pull in, and she won't get out of my car. She's like arguing with her with the window rolled down, and I'm like, "Hey, get out,
hooker. Get out of here, hooker."
And then it takes like 10 minutes for them to stop arguing, and then she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry about that. So if you're looking for any action or whatever, you know, how much you got?" I'm like, "Bitch, I gave you a ride. If anything, you owe me."
I remember that story. We had a lot of fun with that. God, that was funny. People were asking this question on Facebook earlier, and they want to know. I know the answer, but do you have any shoes besides flip-flops? Because that's almost your thing. I used to wear a lot of flip-flops when I lived in the beach in Florida, but now I don't really wear them. You wear these things almost every day, no matter what the weather's like.
Well, if you don't, as a matter of fact, I do, which is funny because I was actually doing a little bit of cleaning. So, yeah, I do. I have these. I have a pair of Chuck Taylors, which are standard. I have exercise shoes, and I've got biking shoes right here. Will you ever see me in them? Probably not, because I only wear them when I'm alone, you know, exercising or whatever. But I always wear flip-flops in public, unless I'm at a show. Because if I'm at a show, I'm probably going to wear my Chuck Taylors, because I learned at the very first Aftershock, don't wear shoes to a concert.
What is your obsession with Power Rangers? That was another question somebody had.
Oh, how did I know that was going to come up? It's not really an obsession. It's just like I've got all this free time now, and I'm not going out to the bars. And, you know, I kind of like – anybody who knows me knows I like collecting things. And it doesn't even have to be valuable. It's just something that I like. And Power Rangers was something that I grew up with. And I don't really have a lot of Power Ranger things. I have, like, maybe two. And I saw the lunchbox while I was scrolling for other collectibles, and I just wanted it. So that's kind of my answer to that.
Question was, I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but what makes you a movie critic? Apparently, you got a podcast or something that you were doing, I think, prior to the virus. So what makes you an expert, I think the question said.
Well, I never actually claimed to be an expert. I just, the podcast is really just me and my best friend's opinions on movies that we've seen. And, yeah, I have seen many movies. I subscribe to YouTube channels where professional critics actually do, you know, tell you what to do and what to look for and whatnot. I'm not an expert. I just have an opinion. That's what people need to understand is I'll never belittle what you think about a movie, even if I differ from it. I just feel like I have an interesting opinion, which is why I started the podcast and to begin with. Also, I had nothing else going on.
What's the craziest story you know about me?
Well, I do know your chicken wing stories because you'll pretty much tell that to anybody.
That's a good story.
Tell that story.
That's a good story. That girl let me do dirty things with a chicken wing to her.
Yeah. There's the whole radio station van that used to be filled with condoms. That's pretty interesting. Happened maybe a few years before I showed up. So
yeah, you missed some of the prime back in the day. I don't know. I calmed down a lot, but man, back in my 20s, it was wild.
I'm totally fine with the fact that I missed that, because that sounds awful.
That I didn't really have much to do with it. They just had a bunch of condoms that they would hang. If you don't know the story, they would hang the jocks then. I was a new guy. I was a night guy. They would hang their condoms up in the van, use condoms, and it was like trophies where they would just hook up with listeners. That's back when
gross.
Back when radio station has vans.
Yeah, that van was pretty special, though. Well, the one that I got used to, that one I would never ride in because of that. That sounds awful. Who does that?
I didn't really have much to do with that. That was before me. That was gross.
Put me behind and tell me, did you ever put one in that? Did you ever put one condom in that van? Not one.
No, I never did do it. No, I never did. I'd tell you if I did. I never did do it. I mean, I hooked up in that van, absolutely, but not with all those condoms. For some reason, I think management, I don't know how long those condoms were hanging there, but management eventually removed them from all the inside of that van. And I think, is that the van we gave away to a church? No, a listener won it, then he sold it to a church.
Yep, it was. That's because the one that you guys bought after that is the one that I was driving around in. Because if I found out that there were condoms hanging out in the van that I was driving, I'd never set foot in it again.
Grossest thing again before your time was we were riding in the van. I don't remember who was driving, but I know Short Bus, old guy in Florida, was in the passenger seat, and there's a lot of people in the van, and I was hooking up with this girl, and then I remember trying to throw this condom out his window because he had it open, his window open, and it flew back in and landed on him.
Oh, my God.
That was that van.
They always say don't punch the driver, but I would.
Yeah.
If we crash, if a condom lands on me, I'm gonna kill someone.
Yeah, and then I remember, then I got him again. This one he should have just punched. We're at a strip club, and I hand it to him. So I hook up with the girl again. So then I walk in, I go, hey man, here's your something. Like it was money, and he should have punched me for that.
Realistically, I feel like I missed the party years because when I showed up, 97X was pretty tame at that.
Well, point. We got a little bit tame. Plus, I got older. I get married. I had a kid, so things got a little bit calm for me. I got a lot of wild stories though. The 20s were the best in radio for me.
They were for me, but they weren't like that because holy crap!
We would take that van and just drive it to another state and just party. We would just we would always have somebody that was driving that was not drunk, but we'd be drunk as shit.
But I was also under a microscope for the first couple of years of my internship, which...
Yeah, that's a funny story, because how you... And I love telling this story. You would have probably got paid and not interned for so long if you wouldn't have checked out the general manager and did that shady thing you do with your glasses where you got caught trying to check her out as she walked away.
Okay.
Do exactly what you did. This is why you didn't get paid for the longest.
In my defense, if she's watching, she is a beautiful woman. So, of course, I checked her out. But I'm sitting at my desk, and she walks by.
Now, she described it as you went like this. Like, you, yeah, that's how she described it.
No, I took them off. I'm not a psycho.
God, it took forever to finally get you on the payroll.
Yeah, apparently that creeped her out enough to not pay me for 2 years.
It was still, well, I don't know. They didn't want to pay nobody at that point.
Even my sister's like, yeah, it was not a 5-year internship, but
it was illegal.
It was super illegal. It was like 2 years, and it got to a point where my dad is calling me almost every month, like, you know, you can sue them, right? Because they're not paying you, and you're working for them for so long. You're still an intern. I'm like, I don't want to screw them like that, but
no. But you know, in the long run, I got you a better job, and you're out in California now.
It's true. I do like it, but. I'll always remember
97X. Yeah, 97X was awesome back in the day. I don't think it sounds great at all anymore. I think it's terrible. I could be honest with you. I would probably, other than I think RBG might still be on the air there, and I think, I don't know if G-Man is or not. I like those two, but the rest of that station, when I heard it, it's just garbage. I would fire everybody on it. But I also programmed that station. It's not the same.
Dude, I couldn't agree with you more. When I was home for Christmas, I was listening to it, and I'm just thinking I would gut that entire station with the exception of, like, RBG and G-Man and just start fresh because they don't play any of the same music that we used to. I'm listening to what they're playing, and I'm like, what has this become? Because every single thing that they're playing, it's just garbage, and it's at least 50 years old. What has happened? It was an active rock station. That's why we were winning.
Yeah, a lot of active rock stations will do great. That station did, though. People loved it.
It's crazy. It's one of the only active rock stations that actually...
That's because that station had personality, though.
Exactly.
Just like I think our station we're at now has a lot of personality. What makes it stand out?
I definitely agree, because anybody can just play classic rock music, but you're not going to have, you know, the that damn shows and Pat Martins of the world on your station. That's what's gonna help you win.
What do you hate the most about terrestrial radio? I asked Mikey that question yesterday.
Oh man, I listen to Sirius when I'm in my dad's car, you know, going up to his house because that's what he likes. I listen to them. It sounds like they're having more fun because they're a lot more free with what they're able to say and do. So realistically, it's the restrictions that I don't care for that much, but that's why our show is so special.
I know, but would you say it, just because you can't say shit, would you say it? Or would you, because sometimes I'm saying things like mouth hug is hilarious, like making up words to describe something without saying it.
That's actually what I was getting at, is that, you know, we actually have a lot more fun tiptoeing around the things that we can and cannot say. You know, we come up with things like mouth hug and backdoor buffets and stuff like that. It's a lot more fun, mashed potatoes and stuff like that. The things that we come up with in substitutes for the things that we cannot say actually makes me have a lot more fun. I'm not going to lie.
How many drinks have you made since we've been doing this little conversation?
Don't ask me about my business.
I'm just curious. I went 45 days without drinking, and finally I made me a drink yesterday, and I got one right now. I just felt like I needed a drink if I was talking with you today.
Oh, yeah. This is actually, well, when it gets to a certain point, I just keep refilling it, so I never actually finished it. But realistically, I would say I'm at my third.
We could technically, last night I was having a hard time with phone calls. For some reason, like Mikey couldn't hear him, but I could hear him. But technically, I think we could take phone calls if we wanted to.
That's so.
If somebody really wanted to call, wanted to get through. It's just last night we had people going, "Hey man, what's going on?" That was it. It's like,
I don't got time for that shit.
Well, we got no call screener. We got no call screener, and we just go right. It just goes right to the line if somebody calls. So it's like, what can you do?
It's Saturday. I took time out of my day to be on your show. I have no interest in, "Hey, how's it going?"
Some people wanted to know how do we, being us, balance our business, work, and then still be roommates? Because I find you as a very easy roommate. You're 5 feet from me right now, but I don't really see you that much. I think a conversation here or there, you kind of do your thing, I do my own thing. We don't really even, there's really no conflict at all, I don't think.
That's kind of what works, is that I don't step on your toes, you don't step on mine. We kind of keep out of each other's way, because I feel like if we actually were closer roommates, we probably get on each other's nerves after a while, because we see each other all the time. So really, we kind of just...
There might be times, though, we go like, "Hey, let's go grab a beer down the street at the sports bar occasionally," or something like that. "Hey, let's see if this phone's going to work today. I have no idea. Hello? Hold on real quick. I have to keep putting it through the roadcast thing. Hi.
Hey, Stroke Man. Hey.
Hey, who's this?
This is Chris. Used to watch you guys when you had your party, your house parties and stuff like that, doing shots of Rumplemint.
Oh, nice. Ian, can you hear him or no?
Yeah. Ian?
Yeah.
Ian?
Yeah, Ian's on the other end last night. All right, cool. I'm glad.
Last night, I remember Mikey couldn't hear anybody, but I can hear Ian and I can hear you both.
I can hear you too. So,
What's going on down? You're in Panama City, right?
No, I moved up to Southeast Minnesota, but I follow you guys, and I still follow everything that's going on the beach and everything. But I just was just wanted to throw that wild wildebeest story that we talked about that one time.
I'm trying to remember which one it was. I know I partied a lot back in the day.
Let's just say her name was Dawn.
Okay.
Nasty girl.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. All right. I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't either, but
that's what the thing we do. That's the thing when you just get random calls, you just start.
Well, there's a silver lining here. At least we know that the phone calls work and we can both hear them.
That was funny last night. Remember Jay Nasty?
Dude, is he still alive?
Yeah, he called last night and said, "Really, time you just making up some story about some Asian chick taking a dump on my chest, and I got some kind of flu." I don't know what the hell he was talking about. That's the thing when you take these wild phone calls sometimes.
Weird.
It's weird.
Good to know that he's
still alive, yeah. People still watching, though.
I know he's still alive, but I don't hear from him anymore. I hear from Al Trout like all day, every day, but Jay Nasty just kind of fell off.
Al Trout wants to make sure, because Monday's his birthday, and he wants to make sure that we shock you. He said he was going to be watching today. He just can't comment because he's in Facebook jail again.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Dude's a repeat offender. Eventually, they're going to kick him off Facebook entirely. Like, how fucking dumb is it that people are constantly in Facebook jail? Like, do you not learn your lesson the first time?
No, he just keeps stirring it up. I got in trouble for putting Strokes meat, and I was talking about putting meat on my grill, and Facebook flagged it. I got actually in trouble for calling myself white trash one day. I guess that was... I thought if you could call yourself white trash, you should be able to say that, but in this case, I couldn't.
Oh, well, you know what?
What's up?
It's actually Danny's birthday on Monday, too, so we should remember that.
It is Danny's birthday. Hey, who's this?
It's Road Rash.
Road Rash! What's up, man?
Not much, man. What are you doing?
Besides
having a kick-ass show.
Yeah, just talking with Ian right now. Ian can actually hear you. See, last night, Mikey couldn't hear anything, but now we seem to got some things worked out. We're not having that glitch we were having either last night.
Right on. Right on, man. Well, I got to turn you down here in the background a little bit because there we go. That's good. I got the radio playing in the background. I'm listening to you guys, and I'm talking on the phone. I'm a motherfucking multitasker.
I know.
I was playing right now.
Yeah, I guess we're on 98 Rock right now. They're doing Best Of on Saturday. Didn't think about that.
Yes. Yep. So I always listen to that all the time.
That's cool. So, Road Rash, every time you talk, call in, whether it's terrestrial radio or we're doing some internet fun here, you always got a great story. Let's hear another Road Rash story, uncensored.
Okay. This is back in 1986. This is where I got the nickname Road Rash. So, back in 1986, I was looking for a cheap, reliable transportation. So I got myself a Yamaha RZ350 Kenny Roberts Special. And I, you know, instead of having a car, I rode that. I was living in Southern California. So, but I also frequented this bar called Sugars. And it was a bikini beer and wine pool bar. So, you go into this place and it's got, I mean, it smells like urine as soon as you walk in. And you go to this place and all the women that are working there are in bikinis and they got the pool tables. They got the cheap pitchers of beer and wine, little tiny bottles of wine. So I'm hanging out there and everything. And I have to go to school. I was taking broadcasting school and I was also in an actor's class at Cypress College. So I'm at the bar and I'm getting all hammered and I got to go to school later. And it was actually the spotlight guy for Jesus Christ Superstar play that Cypress College was putting on. And on my way from the bar to Cypress College, I was hammered off my ass and fucking decided to haul ass on my motorcycle, and there was a high school that their football game was getting out. And I should have zigged when I should have zagged, and I went down at 130 miles an hour and slid for a good, 80 feet. And when I sat up in the street and I'm looking at my arm and it's all bloody and my helmet, the face shield's bloody, and I flip up my face shield and I look down the street and my bike is still fucking sliding.
Damn.
I'm like, holy shit balls. I just took a digger. So I get up and I'm bleeding and I limp down there. And then people are realizing, hey, this asshole just fucking crashed his bike. And so everybody's helping me out and stuff like that. And then, dun, 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 cue the fucking, cop music. The police show up.
And they arrest your ass?
Oh, fuck yeah. I was handcuffed to the fucking hospital bed where they were scrubbing me with this brush.
Oh, that sounds awful. How many times? Road Rash, how many times have you been arrested in your life?
How many times have I been arrested in my life?
Yeah, hold on.
I would probably say.
Let's guess. Hold on. Don't tell it. Oh, never mind. It's already started. 30?
No, I just. 30-something.
Jesus.
Are you fucking kidding me?
30-something
times. Okay, well, it all started back in 1986 when I was introduced to methamphetamine.
Well, that'd
and I worked at a local, amusement park, Knott's Berry Farm, and I was a sweeper. I went around and swept up popcorn and cigarette butts and occasionally a $20 bill that someone dropped. So, and that was my addiction with methamphetamine went on from 1986 to 1995. And I worked at a regular job, but when I was out messing around, I would steal shit. And I never really got caught stealing shit. I would always get arrested for being under the influence of a controlled substance. You know, they close your eyes, estimated 30 seconds. And 10 seconds later, I'm opening my eyes up and they're shining a flashlight in it. And there's no pupil dilation. They're all, hey, we got another test. Turn around and touch your thumbs behind your back. And click, click, click. And hey, there I go to jail again. You know,
don't do
the
meth.
Longest stretch I, no, it's bad. Oh yeah, way bad. You know, and got sober, completely sober for 8 years, and then I met my wife in Alcoholics Anonymous, and she was sober for 9 years, and then when we moved to Washington, you know, we're up there and stuff, and we're like, hey, let's smoke a little bit of weed. So we, you know, okay, this is cool. We can do weed. And then, you know, we came back and moved back down north out here. And I was like, I'm going to drink some beers. So I stay away from the meth and the hard alcohol. Sometimes.
Hard alcohol. Well, I hope for the, stay away from the meth. Yeah. The alcohol, I see you like many times on your Facebook Live drinking.
Oh, yeah. My beers, man. My cheap beers.
It is cheap beers.
My Keystone and. And my Coors Light.
What kind of, when you, yeah, do you drink liquor anymore or you just stick to the cheap beer?
Oh, no. Oh, like we did the Taco Cantina. You know, they said, oh, hey, you've had too many drinks. And we were like, well, screw this. We're going over to Rite Aid and getting a bottle of Jack Daniels.
I remember you was in there. You were in there drinking at that broadcast and you were like yelling the F word across that restaurant. I'm like, oh, shit. and then the guy that was with you was like laying out in the street when we left or something. I don't remember what the hell happened.
Oh yeah, we were out there sitting right in the freaking gutter, swigging on our Jack Daniels bottles and drinking our, you know, Cantina Cokes from Taco Bell and petting puppies and having a great freaking time. Called an Uber and went on home.
Damn. All right, Naresh, good hearing from you, man, as always. And somebody, actually, I'm trying to read, like, some of the Facebook comments over here at the time. They want to know, is there a time you're not hungover? You just get used to it, don't you?
You what?
You just kind of get used to it. If you drink a lot, you just get used to the hangover.
Well, yeah, it's not pleasant, but it's definitely more, you know, acceptable the more that you actually are. And, you know, I'm not hungover when I'm asleep. But otherwise, I mean, yeah, it actually just becomes more easier to deal with. Or you just learn at a certain point that you need to eat every once in a while to kind of stave off the hangover. Or, you know, drink water, which is what a professional would tell you.
That's true. Because, you know, we are pretty bad about picking on you from time to time. Does it ever get difficult for you?
No, of course not. Why do you think I drink?
Hey, I got somebody else on the line real quick. I have no idea who it is. Let's go to it. Hello, who's this?
Okay, this is Super.
Hey, Super, what's up?
What's up? Hey, did they have any midget wrestling in California? Like this life-altering, this epic here in Panama City?
Ian is really good with one of the guys from the midget wrestling. They came to town, what, like last year?
It was the first year that we were here. We were still living at the other apartment, and they came to the Union, actually. And Flying Ryan and Mario were there. I'm sure you know them.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had it. They had the same guys come to town here, but I haven't watched them since I've been in California. Next month, well, June will be 3 years I've been here already.
The very first year I was here, it was so exciting to actually see them again because I didn't know. Because you don't really know who's going to be there until you get there. But I showed up, and Flying Ryan and Mario was there, and, you know, Ryan's cousin, I can't remember her name. I think it's like Brianna or something or other. But the only person I didn't that wasn't there was Mad Max, so it was a lot of fun to see them again. And I followed them on Facebook.
Yeah, there's like three different groups of them now. Three different groups of midget wrestlers, though.
Yeah, and a lot of times there's been other wrestling groups that have come by, but it's the ones that I know are Micro Wrestling Federation, and there's like at least three other, you know, kind of camps that they fall into. But if it's not Micro Wrestling Federation, then I'm not going because those are my friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because you know, at that time up in Dothan, yeah, that's some crazy shit. The Players Club was great all the time too.
God, I always had so much fun in Dothan, Alabama. I partied my ass off in that place. That was all. I don't know if it was I don't know if it was just because I was getting out of Panama City at the time, but every time I go to Dothan, it was just wild.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah!
Well, good hearing from you, man. Hey, Ian, some people said you need to speak a little closer. You are a little distance because you're not hooked up to a microphone, so you're kind of using your phone. I'm just looking at some of the comments. And somebody wants to know, are you still doing – what happened with your stand-up comedy? Are you still doing that?
I only do that when I go back home.
So, but didn't you – I thought you went out and did it a night or two here in California.
I did, and they – just like in radio, Californians do not appreciate the Florida humor that we bring. So I was not I didn't do it again because I did an open mic twice, and the second time I did it, I told a joke. I'm not gonna tell you what it is because it's kind of disgusting.
And God, I want to hear it.
It killed in Florida every time I ever did it, but when I did it here, I got crickets and disgust. So I actually moderate my jokes to California humor. I'm not gonna do it here, but every time I go back home to Florida, I try to, you know, have at least one show. And I did one after the hurricane when we went during the summertime. I did one to raise money for the hurricane victims, and that was a lot of fun. But I don't do it in California anymore. Either I'm lazy or I just don't want to.
You know, I think you should. I think you should go out to some, but I think you'd enjoy it. Now, you love stand-up comedy, and you listen to you. I walk by your room, and I'll hear you watching new comedians. I like stand-up comedy. Don't get me wrong, but you love it. You're on top of it.
Yeah, I always try to keep up with, you know, who's new on Netflix, which they have a couple of specials that air on Amazon every once in a while. Like, I think Jim Gaffigan had a new special a year ago. That's where his special went first. But Netflix is always, you know, the first place I look for new specials every single month. But, yeah, I definitely try to stay on top of it. But as far as getting back into it, I don't know. It's a lot of work that I just really feel like I've kind of lost the passion for.
The joke that you did that you said people in California didn't like, but people in Florida loved it, you can't share it with us right now? Is it too bad?
Well, it's not too bad. It is and it isn't. Also, it's weird to do without an audience.
I know. People, I'm looking at Facebook comments. Some people are saying, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's really just me and you talking, but it was an abortion joke that, you know, the audience just did not respond to very well.
Huh. I figured being in the South, abortion jokes would not fly as easy. But I know Panama City was wild. That was not really I wouldn't even consider that the South. I know it is, but man.
I think it's just that in the South, they're easier to accept that this is a joke and I'm kidding. But when I brought up abortion here,
people got mad.
Oh my God, dude. I did the same joke the exact same way I've done 1,000 times, and they hate it. And I could not get them back because it was in the middle of my set. And I was doing well up until that joke. And then once I told that joke, I could not get them back. Like, they didn't hear a word I said.
Yeah, that's got to suck. I've never tried to do stand-up comedy, but I can only imagine just it's pretty challenging.
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely the hardest thing that a person can do because your nerves are insane. No matter how many times you've done it, you could be on your first show or your 1,000th show. It is nerve-wracking, no matter what. And it's hard.
Some people were wondering why that we're in the same house right now, probably 10 feet apart, but we're on two different cameras. I mean, you could technically be sitting right next to me, but I'd rather you be there. I just think it's...
Yeah, I don't go into your room for literally any reason unless your daughter's in the bathroom and I need to use yours. That's literally.
Yeah, I've rarely ever been in your room.
Yeah, you don't come in my room, I don't come in yours. It's an agreement. It's almost.
I mean, technically, yeah, you could sit right here, but nobody. I just think you're more comfortable being where you're at, and I'm there. Plus, I'll get to play with this new software.
Also, I didn't want to bring a chair from the kitchen dining room table into your room. Otherwise, where would I sit? That's laziness, really.
What do you think about? How do you like doing the show, the radio show, terrestrial radio show from the house? Because you're every day when you're doing it, I pretty much see the same screen everybody else is seeing. You're pretty much doing what you're doing right now, minus drinking. I think maybe you are, you're sitting on your bed with a microphone in there doing the show every day, looking at Zoom so we can keep up with the other members of the show. How are you really liking it, or do you miss the studio?
You and Mikey talk about how much you want to do this forever.
Yes.
I think that because everything is shut down, going to the studio was the only thing that I actually enjoyed because I got to get out of the house. When everything opens up again, I will probably be on the same page as you two, but since we can't go to the studio, I don't like it because... Mm. It's the only time I got to get out of the house, and now I can't because I can't go anywhere.
See, you and I are a lot different. When I was your age, I was out active a lot more. Now I appreciate being at the house. I enjoy Saturday night here and there. I don't have to be out like you. You got to be out normally 3 or 4 nights a week. That's your thing. So I can understand a person like you is miserable.
Yeah, and that was the best part of my day was being out of this house because I couldn't go anywhere. You know, I'm basically stuck here watching Netflix and Hulu and whatnot in between, you know, doing research for the show and actually doing the show. So when the show's over, I basically just pack up my microphone and put it in the closet over there. And then I'm doing the same thing I've been doing.
Some people are still asking for you to do your jokes or do another joke. I think people want you to do jokes.
Well, I appreciate that, but I think it's
different because you can, feed off of the energy of a room. I think you... talking into a stupid camera might be difficult.
It is.
Because we tried to do that on the air before, and it's I even feel bad for you.
It is so awful because I did when the show was very, very new. I don't even think we had a name yet. Lara and I did the stand-up showdown or whatever, and we both had to do stand-up comedy for like a minute. And the only people in the room were you and Mikey. And if you two weren't laughing, then... Yeah. You know, the whole energy of the performance is
thrown. Yeah, and you know we're not going to laugh. We're assholes.
Yeah, I don't want to keep going. I don't want to do this anymore. It's the energy. It's really the reaction. So, you know, I'm sorry to everybody that's watching that wants to hear me do jokes, but I'm not going to do it because I can't actually see or hear you. So, really, it just comes off as a TED Talk.
Did you clean your room yet? That's another question people are asking on Facebook right now.
It's actually what I've been doing all day. And it actually got interrupted when a buddy of mine dropped off, like, my comic book collection. Because my buddy, Seth, who lived in Florida with me, and he was holding on to my comic book collection. Then he moved out here, and he put them in a storage unit. But the guy who owned the storage unit brought them to me today, so I was finding a place for them, on top of doing laundry, on top of organizing all of my DVDs and all kinds of other shit that I've been doing today. I've actually been making great progress. So, is my room clean? No, but it is actually coming along very well. Thank you for your concern, I guess.
So let's share that picture I put up last night promoting you to be live on Facebook with me today. The picture you took in the bathroom. There's a story behind that picture. Some people were asking that question. So the picture, Ian, is this is when I lived in another apartment. So I just moved here. You were here. You were actually sleeping on the couch because I was still married at the time, right? Weren't you on the couch?
I was on the couch, and when your daughter was in Florida with her mom for the summer, I was sleeping in there. It was a whole thing. At a certain point, I had to sleep under a table because Short Bus was sleeping on the couch.
Oh yeah, because he came to visit for a week, our guy down in Florida. So you, but anyway, there's a picture you took, and you were in the bathroom, and in the background you could see like my daughter's toothbrush and stuff. But you got a picture, you got your junk out.
My junk is not out.
It's not. When we blurred. How did we get that picture? Did the girl that you sent that to? Didn't she send it over to me or Mikey or emailed the show or something? How did we get that picture?
To start. The picture was perfectly framed to where it didn't show my junk, and it was more of a parody of a picture that she had sent me earlier.
Oh.
So I'm talking to this girl, and she sent me a picture where she was basically in the exact same pose that I was in, and then she said that I should send her a picture, and then I sent her that picture, which was basically mocking what she was doing. And then I'm not gonna lie. I ghosted her.
So she got mad, that's why we got it?
Yes, and she got mad and sent it directly to Mikey. And Mikey showed it to me, and he's like, dude, what the hell is this? I'm gonna put this on Facebook. And I said, no, you're not, because I have no shame. I'll put it on Facebook, because I'm gonna take the power away from this lady, because she's not going to shame me. I have no shame. I will put that picture on Facebook.
No, that's one thing I like about you. You owned it. You owned it, yeah, before anybody beat it to you. It's like when a celebrity has their sex tape, you know, out, and they'll release it before, because somebody's trying to blackmail them or post it somewhere, so they just own it themselves.
I don't even know if she was trying to, you know, blackmail me, because she didn't ask for anything. It was more like, hey, this is the kind of person he is, and this is what he sent me, which, as far as, you know, humiliation goes, that is far from the worst thing that I've ever posted on Facebook. Don't even test me. I work with that damn show. Do you really think you're going to come in?
You're not one of these assholes who just, because you hear from women all the time, they just, these random dudes just send pictures of their dick. You don't do that, do you?
I have never sent a picture of my dick that was not asked for. Okay? Because I may send pictures of my dick to ladies, but I'm not a monster. Okay? It's called reciprocity, and I respect that. If she sends a picture of herself naked, I will send a picture of myself, but never unsolicited will you get a picture from me.
Well, that's good to know. I think some people were concerned. I didn't think you would be one of those guys who would just randomly send your junk pictures to people.
Listen, I'm from the South. It's called manners, okay? I have so many female friends that are on dating apps that are constantly complaining about men sending pictures of their dicks within 2 minutes of matching with them.
And yeah, why do guys think sending their junk to random women is going to do anything? No woman's got to be like, oh yeah, I want that.
That should never work for anyone. It maybe worked for one person, and he told all of his friends, and all of them were like, well, I got to try that. It's an insult to my gender, and to all the ladies who have experienced this, I apologize. You will never get that from me.
No, no random pictures. But if they asked you, you're saying you may send them a picture of your pecker.
Absolutely, yes. If they ask, they shall receive. It's called manners.
It is called manners.
You get it.
Yeah, all right. Well, Ian, it was fun chatting with you. I think a lot of people had a good time chatting, are commenting on the Facebook Live here.
Thank you. It's always been a dream of mine to be on Stroke Stories with Stroke. You know,
it's story time with Stroke. I just called it that.
I'm so glad you had me.
I know. I'm working on some bigger guests. I figured I'd start with Mikey and then you. Hey, at least Mikey was technically considered my first guest, and then it was you. But you got to feel the best, because the quality of this video is much better, because I was able to go into settings on the software and make some adjustments last night.
You're right. I did kill it.
You did kill it, and I think people enjoyed it. Okay, Ian, I'll see you in the hallway.
See you, dude.